Some years ago, we were down in Cornelia knocking on some doors. Knocked on a man's door and asked him, have you been born again? And he said to me, I'm a deacon up here at the Baptist church. And I said, amen. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, what? I said, are you born again? He said, I'm a regular deacon up here at the church, right up here on the hill. I said, yes, sir, but can I ask you another question? He said, yes. And I said, have you been born again? And he got mad at me. And he said, I don't like people going around asking those things all the time. And I thought about that a while ago, come to my mind before I bring this message. My kids, I don't know which one of them, they had a little old thing, maybe all of them had, I don't know, but I hadn't seen one in ages, equipped me. They had a little thing called the Farmer Says. Had a little string on it, and you pull it, it said, this is a dog. Burp, burp, burp. And it had all animals all around it. And I say to myself, and said, sitting there in the choir pew a while ago, and I said, when they say, are you saved? They've just pulled the string. Yes, glory to God. I don't care how many times you ask me. See, I'm glad I know I'm saved. Now, some of y'all get aggravated if somebody asks you that two or three times a day. But you just pull my string. Amen. I don't mind telling you. And you don't have to pull my string. I'll tell you anyhow. Take your Bible this morning. Go into the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. One of the most tremendous chapters of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. It's key, brother, to the life of ever born-again believer. Ever born-again believer ought to study the book of Romans and get all they could out of it. But we're going to verse 14 this morning. Don't intend to bring you anything new. I just want to try to remind you of what's going on. In Romans chapter 8, you can stand and let's read together. Verse number 14 is where we will begin. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us, Lord, to comprehend. Lord, let these words sink down deep in our soul and the other scriptures that we'll go to today. I pray, Lord, they might find a lodging place in our heart. Father, I pray your name might be magnified above all names in this congregation, in this midst. And Lord, when we leave out today, we can realize, Lord, that we've met with you and you've met with us. And Lord, it hadn't just been a service that we just met in vain, but God, we got something, we received something. And Lord, we going home with something that we didn't have when we came in. I pray, God, you'd bless every heart and soul in this building. Give us divine wisdom, a divine touch. May the divine hand be upon us. May the Word of God speak. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, look at this morning. My text verse was a couple of them I wanted to pick out, but I'll use verse number 16. The Bible said in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. A lot of people claim that they've been to Calvary. A lot of people claim that they've been saved. A lot of people claim that they know the Lord Jesus, even followed him in believer's baptism, so to speak, and maybe they weren't a believer, but they were baptized. Many have joined the church, become part of the church, which is customary and normal and really biblical. And we begin to see these things, and they'll say to you, I remember an experience that I had. I remember when I was 12. I remember when I was 9. I remember when I was 14. I remember when I was 16, going down the aisle and doing something, and they may not go in no detail of telling you what they've done, but they've trusted that and depended on that. But can I ask you a question? What if you drawed your last breath before this service is over? Where would you be in eternity, in heaven or in hell? Now, you need to know that without a doubt. I'm not talking about guessing about it, speculating about it. I believe today that you ought to know that you're saved. Now, somebody said you can't know till you get there. That's kind of pushing a little late, isn't it? Amen. I don't want to take no chances with my soul. Now, everybody in this building, especially you young folks, and it may not have been that way in everybody's life. I mean, they may not have made the right decisions the right way. But you know what? There's not but three things that you have to pay attention to when you come in this world. One is where and when you're going to give your life and heart to the Lord Jesus and let God be number one. Amen. Number two, you may have to give it some rank and some authority in your life, what you're going to do for life. In paying your bills and making a living. Man don't work, you don't eat. Amen. This society is different. They think if you don't work, the government will take care of it. Our mom and daddy take care of it. I don't like 50-year-old men or 40-year-old men or 30-year-old men and women staying at home and mama still feeding them. Amen. I wasn't raised that way. But I believe we ought to make... What we're going to decide what we're going to do in life the best that we can. And then we need to figure out our partner for life and husbands and wives. And I don't mean that for one. I'm talking about a general idea for everybody with one husband and one wife. Amen. I want to make myself clear there. I didn't mean to make it sound different. But I want to say to you, as I look at this, those are the three things that you need to get straightened out right quick-like in your life. If you don't, your life's going to be in shambles. It's going to be upside. Listen, life is tough. Can I tell you life is rough? Can I tell you life's not a bed of ease? Amen. Now, how many of y'all done learned that? Now, for the rest of you, I'm going to preach to you. Amen. Life is tough. Brother, you better get it started off with God first or you're going to get in trouble. And the older you get, the harder your heart becomes, the more wicked things are around you. And there's too much to grab your attention. And if you're not careful, those things will take you into the very pits of hell. I want to give you some things this morning that I know. I mean, how I know that I'm saved. I thought about this morning as we sung about the cross two or three times. Hey, man, I love that cross. I believe one of them said that I'll cling to that old rugged cross. And I thought when I'm drawing my last breath, I can hold to that cross. I'm not going to hold to the government with one hand and the world with another. I'm just going to reach out and hold to that blood-stained cross. Brother, I want to cling to the cross. I want to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection and hold to that while I'm drawing my last breath. That's my only hope. I put my hope in Christ. And brother, my hope this morning will not sink. It's foundated. I mean, it's a foundation, brother, that's secure. Thank God I can cling. Now, you know what cling means? Amen. Hold to it. I'm not talking about reach out and touch the cross when I'm crossing over. I'm talking about clinging to the old rugged cross, the blood-stained cross that Jesus died on. I'm not talking about the physical cross neither. Amen. I'm talking about it in a spiritual standpoint. Brother, when I say that I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm just going to cling to Him. Preacher, what if you somehow miss the mark and go to hell? Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go clinging to the cross and clinging to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to put my arms and embrace it. Have done it many years ago. And brother, doing that this morning, I'm not looking for a better way to get saved. I'm not looking for some other way to get saved. Brother, I'm as saved as I'll ever be. Amen. I mean, when you get the best, there's nothing else to go to. And when you get the goods, brother, you don't have to look around for something. If you're not happy and satisfied with what you got, you better get up out of your seat right now and get down here in the altar. Brother, God wants to give you something that'll satisfy you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm so saved now. I want you to know I'm so saved. As a fellow said, I'm so saved, I'm pitiful. Amen. I mean, it's just pitiful. Amen. How saved. You said, preacher, I wish I was as saved as you are, or you think you are. Well, I'll tell you, I am. And you don't know that for sure, but I do. And you know what? It don't really make no difference whether you know I'm saved or not, just as long as I know it. Amen. And it don't matter this morning whether I know where you're saved or not, just as long as you know it. And that's all I'm preaching. Amen. Trying to get around this thing in the best way I can. I want to look at something. I want to tell you how I know that I'm saved. How I know for sure. I'm not guessing, not hoping. I hadn't spent my week this week searching the scriptures. I've searched them. But not searching the scriptures to see if I'm saved or not. I done found out. I got that said a long time ago. Some of y'all said, well, I remember. Mama told me something about that. I'd hate to do that. Wouldn't that be something to stand before God? You draw your last breath and Mama told you you was going to heaven because Mama was there when it all happened. Mama said you went down the aisle, bowed in the altar, and Mama said you got up and made a profession. And somehow, vaguely in my mind, I remember a little bit of something about that. I shook the preacher's hand, and they baptized me. Hey, you draw your last breath and you stand before God. Are you going to stand there and say, Lord, I remember what Mama told me? That ain't going to be good enough. You're going to have more than that. Amen. I'm glad I know I've got more than that. Well, let's take our Bible this morning and turn into the book of 1 John. Well, first, before you turn there, you can turn there if you want to and hold it. But in verse number 16 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know how I know, number one, I'm saved? Amen. There's just a little bubbling of the Spirit of God down on the inside that nudges me and tells me that I'm His. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God don't lead the world. God don't lead the lost. Amen. With His Spirit. But if you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, brother, He leads you and guides you. And every once in a while, He just gets up a little close and nudges with your elbow and He says, you're mine. Amen. You've been told you're His. Amen. I'm not talking about by mama. I'm talking about by the Holy Ghost. I have been nudged on the inside and He told me I was His. Now in 1 John, I want to look at the reason I know that I'm saved is because I have that assurance and I've been told it and I have that assurance from the Word of God. Not from mama, not from the church, not from the preacher, but I have that assurance this morning from the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 5, the Bible said these things, this is common, this is a scripture that you've heard since your youth, and I told you I wasn't preaching nothing new, I'm just going to hammer on it a little bit stronger. Amen, you pull my chain this morning, you pull my string when you're singing about the cross, and I want to talk about it. He said in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, who's he talking to? Talking to born-again believers, saved people. These things have I written unto you, amen, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I like that, that you may know. I get hung up on that like a broke record. That you may know. I got that word know colored in green. And I said, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. And I get hung up on it. That you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the Word of God told me that I'm His. Amen. Well, I don't care if the president wrote me a letter and told me I saved. Amen. What good is that? What good would it be if the governor wrote me a letter and told me I saved? What good would it be if I had some kind of delegation out of Washington drive all the way down here and come to my door and said, Mr. Dills, you're saved. What good is that? Brother, when I've got something, a record in heaven that God Almighty has written down, said, hey, these things are written unto you that believe. I'm a believer. You said, how do you know? Because I've done what God said to do. If I find anything else He said to do and I ain't done, I'm going to do it. Amen. And I'm going to stay in the confines of this book this morning. And if I find anything else in this book to do, I'm going to do it. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I remember when I did that, I called upon His name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be, possibility, no. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember when I called on His name, brother, He saved me. I give Him praise and give Him, listen, I got my redemption this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ out of the mighty pages of His blessed book. And this book is just a book this morning that tells me that I'm His own. Brother, I want to tell you, I got the record. Some time ago, and I've used this lots of time, some time ago, I was back when I was doing them driver's license things, and you had to get all that junk up. They told me I had to have a birth certificate. Been a long time since I'd had to have a birth certificate, and I couldn't find it. Went to the courthouse and walked in, and I said, I need to find a piece of paper that says I'm here. And they went back and found it, brought it out there and charged me some money, and I brought it home and took it to the state patrol post, and they gave me a set of driver's license, or renewed them. And that was ten. But I want to tell you something. Brother, the world says, how do you know you're going to heaven? I'm going to God's courthouse. I looked in the Word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Right here. I went back in the record. Brother, every time I look at it, they charge me. Boy, isn't it amazing you have to pay to let somebody know you're born? And I went, every time I go to this book, I look at that and God says, it's free. Here it is. And I look, it's free. Every time I look in the courthouse of God's Word, it tells me I've been born again, and He gives me no charge. What a book. Well, number one, I know I'm saved because of His Word. Number two, I know I'm saved because of something else. 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. Back up a little bit. In 1 John 3:14, He said, amen. We know. Amen. I got it circled and colored in green too. That's a green light for me. What knowing is a green light. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, before you got saved and before I got saved, I didn't care nothing about the people of God down at the church. Amen. As far as I was concerned, there's a bunch of crooks and thugs. Amen. But when I got saved, this just something changed about me. I don't like to run with the people of the world. I don't like to run with the lost to curse and swear and carry on and live ungodly. But I like to run around with the people of God who knows the Lord. I love the brethren. I love you, brethren. I've said many times since I got saved, boy, I want you to know the church is my family. It really is. And I have more confidence and more fellowship and more comfort talking to the people of God than I do with my own personal family. I'm not talking about my immediate family, but I've got brothers and family members and uncles, and I can get among some of my uncles, and I start talking about the grace of God and the goodness of God, and oh yeah, they'll tell me they've been saved and they go to church uptown, you know. But I want to tell you, I just can't get the comfort with them that I can get with the people of God. I'd say, hey, I know the blood has been applied. My sin's been washed away with the blood. And the saints of God say, amen, preacher, I'm with you. He done it to me too. But I say it to my uncles and cousins, and they look at me like I'm a little bit strange. Like I'm a black sheep of the family. He's all right. He's just a little senile and grown. He's a little bit on the off end of this thing. And they'll tell you, oh, he's good. He's a good man. But he's a little weird in his beliefs. Matter of fact, some of them will tell you, I'm not just a little, I'm real weird. Some of them even tell you, I'm a weirdo. But I got news for you this morning. I love being around the people of God. I can communicate with you people. I know what it is to be saved. You see, I know I'm saved this morning because I love God's people. I love God's people. I love the brethren. I love those who love God. Now, that's just something God put down in a child of God. If you don't have, you said, I don't like them church people of a. And if you went somewhere else, you wouldn't like them people over there either. And if you went somewhere else, you wouldn't like them either. I just know people just don't like nobody. And if you don't like the love and have a love for the brethren, I got problems with that. Now, every once in a while, somebody cross you up. Every once in a while, if you hadn't been crossed up by a church member, just hang on, you will be. One of these days you'll come in running your mouth in the wrong way and you'll cross one of them up. You think I was going to pull your side? Amen. And you're going to go out and say what you want to say. But I want to tell you something. You got to remember you're a child of God and I'm a child of God, and we got to work together, and we need to love the brethren. We don't love what they do, but we love them. I've been mistreated by church folks, so-called godly people. But I don't hold the record. I don't know where they were or not. But I'll tell you this much I do know. I'm assured by the word of God, and I'm assured because I know I love the brethren. Number three, I also know this morning because in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, he said this, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, if you're a person in here and you don't want to keep the word of God and abide by the word of God, and you don't want to line up with the word of God, and you despise some of the things that God tells you you need to do, and you don't like it at all, and you're nothing but a rebel, I begin to check and see if I really had the goods. I want to tell you something. This Bible gets rough on me sometimes. Sometimes God takes that Bible and he goes to wheedling on me, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And brother, that little fine edge of that sword can cut. Brother, I'm telling you, it can cut going in and going out. And brother, you can be whittled up all over. And when God gets through, he pours a little salt in it, and you know you've been whittled on when God works on you. You know it. Has that happened to you? Well, what I'm trying to tell you is you love the Word of God, and if you love the Word of God, you want to abide by it. And a key factor in your life is if you don't, I hear so many say, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, I know it says this, but you know, I don't live according to that. Church folks tell you that. They do things and live some way in their life. Listen, if God shows you something's right in the Bible, you better follow it. He tells you it's wrong, you better leave it alone. What you need to do is base your life on what you're going to. It's not what you think of God says. It's not what the preacher thinks. It's what God says. It's not what the world thinks what God says. It's what you know that God has spoke to you about that you need to listen to. And when God says you're not to do this, you don't do it. And one reason this morning I know that I'm saved is because when I walk straight and I step to the right, the Holy Ghost pulls me back. I step to the left and the Holy Ghost pulls me back. Because the Word of God is telling me to walk a straight and narrow path. And I try to go this way and God says, you're in trouble. And I do go a little bit further. And next thing you know, I find myself in a ditch somewhere waiting on the shepherd to come. And with that crooked arm of the Word of God, he pulls me back up, puts me in his arm. Brother, he has to blister me every once in a while and bring me to my senses. But I know that I'm passing death unto life because of his chastisement. If God didn't bother me when I walked out of the will of God, I'd say to you, what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I don't belong to him. Hear me? I'll go a little bit further this morning, not only because I love his word, because I love his brethren or the brethren, and because the word of God's told me, but because this morning something else. Go to the book of John, please. I could give you more out of 1 John, but I just want to move around in the scriptures a little bit to let you know we're not hung up in one place. This is from the same writer, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, one of my most favorite chapters of the book of John, he said in chapter 1, the Bible said he came in verse 11 unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 said, but as many as received him. But as many as received him. In other words, to those who received him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God gave me the power. When I called on him, I didn't have no strength. I didn't know how to save myself. I couldn't. The preacher didn't have no strength. He couldn't do it either. But the Bible said, but as many as received him, when I received him, he gave me the power to become a child of God. He's the one that has made me his. And because, why? Because this morning I trusted him. Now, why did I know? Because I trusted him. And I'm leaning on him. And I'm depending on him. As I said, I was a while ago. I still am. And then let me give you another one or two. I believe it's another thing I can tell that I know this morning that I'm saved is because I love his church. The church is the bride of Christ, which is the brothers and sisters to you and me who are saved. But I love his church. Anything that Christ died for, I must love. If he loved it enough to die for it, I must love it enough to get in it. And I love the church. Amen. Some of you are, amen. You're some of y'all are involved in politics. You look like a tick. Amen. Understand what I'm saying? But I'm not trusting politics. I am trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm glad this morning I love his church. His church, the Bible said, is the ground and pillar of truth. His church is a place that we find joy. Now, some of you get joy from other places and other sources. Amen. Back a few weeks ago, I preached, and I was preaching that crowd, and that's before the Super Bowl. As I was preaching to them, I said, hey, some of these folks get so hung up and stretched out on football games, why, they'll tire somebody's couch up. If somebody runs, what do they call it? A touchdown. There we are. Hey, we used to have a fella, I don't know, back yonder years ago, they didn't have televisions. That was a good time. Now we've got them. It poisons our minds and puts it. But I remember when my daddy got one for the first time. We was the only one in the community that had it. And on Saturday night, they had wrestling. And everybody got involved in the wrestling. I never did like it, never have. I've always told everybody it's just a bunch of junk. And it's fake. It makes people mad. Amen. To tell them that. But we had one neighbor. And every Saturday night, he would come over. Him and his family, and with my daddy and mama and kids, brother, all of my brothers and sisters, they would sit down and watch that. And I never will forget, he's a kind of a heavy set guy. I mean, he wasn't fat, he was just big. He come over there and he got in our dining room chair, never will forget that. And brother, he's like going right, left, get him, whoop him, hit him, get him, help me, elbow him and do all that, bear hug him. And a few minutes, he just boom, broke the dining room chair into pieces and he went down in the floor. Never will forget it. I mean, boy, that'll stay in your mind. And some of y'all go around to each other's homes and tear up everything in the house just because somebody made a touchdown. Get down the house of God and you won't even say, glory to God. Hallelujah. But if it's a touchdown, you'd say, wow, yeah, amen, crab, and grab about three chicken wings. And hear me? But the church house is a place where you get your joy. If you can't get joy down in the house of God, you ain't got nothing to stir. If you have more fun out yonder in the world, in some little old social club somewhere, or some little home here and there, brother, I'll tell you, you want me to tell you where I get excited the most of my life? Right here at the house of God, or sitting somewhere talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus. You said, but preacher, don't you ever get excited about nothing? What else are there to get excited about? He saved me, picked me out of hell, put my feet on a solid rock, wrote my name over in glory, coming to get me after a while. Hey, what more can I talk about? I was running down the road 95 miles an hour. Boy, that was exciting. Ain't never been exciting to me. Bought me a new car one time. Had my boss is with me working on a job. He's off up here. We went to a little eating that night from job related. 197, you know how crooked 197 is. You meet yourself on some of them curves. And I let my boss drive my car. I've never let nobody else want to drive my car. I don't want nobody driving my car. He said, let's see. We got in there, some of the men, and he said, let's just see what this thing will do. I said, no, it's a crooked road. He come down there. I crawled in the floorboard of my own automobile, running about 90 miles an hour on 197. It's in places. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't want that. The preacher, I got excited. I was down at the rodeo the other day. Boy, they sure could round up them cows. Well, whoopee! Bring me a T-bone off of one or two of them. That'd excite me, amen. But you know where I get my excitement? Down at the house of God when I'm talking about Jesus and the blood of Christ, amen. Church house is where I get my joy. It's where I get my start for the week. Praise God. I get to stepping high. I go to church house. Come home. Somebody said, just put on. It ain't a put on. Brother, this does something for me. The church house does something. It goes to the bone. Amen. Makes me bad to the bone. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God for the word. You hear me? I love it. I appreciate it. The church, it's a place of joy. It's also where I get my spiritual instruction. Now, God gives me instruction when I'm praying and reading. He does. But every week when I come up here and come to church, I get my spiritual instruction. Now, you know why some of you didn't figure out how you could get through and barely got through this week? Because you ain't been to church since last Sunday, and you didn't get enough instruction. I have to have a lot of instruction. My daddy had to instruct me pretty heavy when I was a kid. And my God still has to instruct me pretty heavy in his family. My heavenly Father has to work on me. Amen. Now I know you Baptists. You think anyhow that God can give you one instruction, you'll go for months with it. Amen. Why don't you try that with your meals? God has to give us instruction. He has to give us some dietary supplements. Amen. Instead of going to the world to find out whether I'm saved or not, I go to the Word. And instead of going to religion this morning to find out if I'm saved, I go to the record. The Word of God. I love the church. I love the church. Because it's my place of joy. It's my place of instruction. I'm going to give you three things this morning. Show you it's a sin to miss it. Amen. You said, preacher, you're just trying to get the pews full. No, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. I do get tired of going over and studying 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours sometimes for a message. You said, what are you talking about? Let me just give you this. Suppose you ladies have a party. And you're the cook. And you was looking for a full house. And you get food coming out. I'm talking about every corner and crack and crevice. And you've got, and then all of a sudden it's time for the party and three people show up. And you said, what am I going to do with all this food? And you end up sending it home when most of them it didn't even come out. Well, I know how you feel, ladies. Study 3, 4, 5, 6 hours on a message and try to get God all over you and try to get what you need to give to the people. And you come to the church house, you spread the table and there ain't nobody to eat. Amen. I like to go to God's house to get some. Let me just give you some scripture. I'm going to give you three scriptures. And Lord willing, I'll quit. I didn't make you no promises. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Common scripture. I could quote it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. In other words, a lot of them do it. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God said, not forsaking. It's a sin to forsake God's house. Now you said, I don't see it that way. Okay. I pray that God anoint your eyes with eyesight that you might see. That's the scripture out of Revelation. I pray God anoint you. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. It's a sin to miss the house of God. Why? Because number one, it's a disobedience to God's command. God said to assemble, you don't assemble. God said assemble, you don't assemble. God said come to church and you said I'm not going. Then you just lied to God and went against God. You broke His word. Number two, Ephesians chapter 6. Here's another reason you ought to be at the house of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Ephesians 6 and 4 said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, how are you going to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord if you don't take them down to God's house? Amen. I mean, if three toes on one foot's hurting and two on the other, and you can't hardly hold your head up, you ought to get your kids down at the house of God for them to hear the preaching and instruction of the Word of God. I mean, if you have to get you a cane to walk in on. Now, I realize sometimes you're sick and you can't make it. I know you can make it sometimes when you didn't make it. You know how I know that? Because there's been a many a time in 50 years I preached that I could not hardly stand in the pulpit and God give me the strength to preach. I went to a meeting one night. I'd just taken a smallpox shot. It didn't take when I was a kid. And I was going to the Holy Land. And I had to have some booster shots, and they gave me my smallpox. Well, that thing had done made that big, anything got to make a sore. I don't know where that's all that good or not, but amen. I was doing all right before I took that shot. Or scratch or what it was. I don't know. They had that little thing. Here it was. It's all messed up. I was in the middle of a revival meeting. Boy, when it got to working, it got to working. I was seeing double, triple. Couldn't stand up. Went to the church, and they took me to the prayer room, and they had to walk me down in the basement. They walked me around the building and inside, and is holding me on both sides. I couldn't stand up. Honestly, couldn't stand up. I looked at the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, you're going to preach tonight. I ain't able. I can't stand. The shot's bothering me." He said, "You got the message, preacher." And I thought, somehow you do. Amen, left me with it. They sung, I couldn't sing. What am I going to do? They helped me up to the pulpit. I got up, held a pulpit, read my scripture. I preached on the rich man and Lazarus. And had old hard-bottom leather shoes. And they had hardwood floors. You men know what that does. Like a skating rink. And I'm standing there preaching. Wound up tight. And I got to talking about when the table turns. And I got wound up and got tight. Brother preaching. Jumped off the little platform. Went up and down the aisle. Sliding three or four times. Just a shouting it out. Didn't have a bit of problem whatsoever. Gave the invitation. Somebody, one or two, got right with God that night. The power of God was there. And they had to walk me to the car. I know it can be done. Brother, there's been lots of other times. Not just that one. Many times. I've come to the house of God, felt bad, but I went out feeling better. Still sick, but feeling better. Amen. That's why I try to stay away from y'all when y'all are snotting around and snorting and coughing. I try to keep myself well on that part. Amen, because I don't want to. I stood here and preached in the pulpit, my head all a-rolling. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was that way. I'd have had my opportunity that morning. I'd have stayed out about 2 weeks ago. I was sick. We got me a little antibiotic. Nobody knowed hardly I'd done it. But I want to tell you something. I want to try to stay well. I want to go to the house of God. I went down there. I said, "You got to give me something. Got to give me something." That woman, I said, "Got to give me something." She said, "Well, this ain't going to." I said, "Got to give me something. I got to preach in the morning. On Saturday. I got to preach in the morning. I mean, y'all going to give it to me. Don't give it to me on Saturday. That's bad time. I can't get over it in a day." Amen. You remember the other Sunday when I said, "Let me stop and blow my nose," and I put that in over here? That's the morning I felt so bad I couldn't stand up. God blessed. Some of you didn't even know I was sick. God can help you. He can help you. Now, if you got pneumonia and you got some kind of disease that I don't need, stay at the house. But if you just got a little snotty nose and it ain't really contagious and you dropped peanut butter on your left toe yesterday out of the cabinet, and you can't hardly hop on in here. Need to raise their kids. Number three, I'm going to quit. And I am. Get this third one. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Where are you going to grow in grace? Where are you going to grow in grace? Down at the house of God. Amen. Well, before I get started with about three or four more other reasons, we'll quit. The book of God's real to us tonight, today. I'm glad it teaches me. I'm glad I know I'm saved. Amen. Now, I don't know where you know I'm saved or not. It don't really make no difference, as I said a while ago. But as long as you know you're saved, that's all I care about. And while they're coming the instruments, I'll say this one thing. I would hate to know that I preached to you people down through the years, and all you had to offer God when you stand before Him is, just as I am, be a good one. All I'd hate, I'd hate to know that all you got is, Mama told me. You need to have your own personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand.